grace, your love that is unconditional. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us when we were still sinners. Lord, when we wanted nothing to do with you, we did not recognize you. Maybe we knew about you, but Father, we had no relationship with you. Thank you that you loved us then. How much more do you love us today, Lord God? And I thank you, Father, as we stand before you today, we can just acknowledge your greatness, your power, and your majesty. Father, we just want to worship you and bless you. Can we just give God a shout of praise in this place tonight? Come on. Instruments of righteousness. That is my sermon topic for tonight. And we've heard a lot of instruments tonight. So I want to start tonight by asking a question. What do you see or understand when you hear the word church? Okay, this is a discussion. I'm not going to answer the question. So just shout it out. When you hear the word church, what do you understand? So that is what we say. I think there's one or two things short. It's interesting. And I'll just throw this one out there, but maybe just think about this. Nobody said signs, wonders, miracles, power of God. None of that. Oops. Any case, what does people, and then obviously not people in the church, what do they see or understand when we say the word church? Offense. Psh. Oops. Hurt. What do you think he would still play? What does people say? Okay, they can't. Shh. This sacred people sitting in the corner here. Let you think you'll cry back. Bunch of hypocrites. Nieces, man. Judgment. Yet. What else? Weirdos. It's net on hierdie kant. Okay, let's try this block. What does people say? What does your friend say about church when you say, hey, kom ons gaan koffie drink by die kerk? Want hier drink ons koffie. Sorry? Weak people. Sê weer? I need a crutch. Wat het jy gesê? Your friend. Hallelujah. Okay, who of your friends come? We've got two, I've got three, four. Yes. So, five, six. Where's your friends? Point them out. And I'm not talking about church friends. I'm talking about, do you have other friends? Gorrelkie Piet. We're going to them. And where are you going? Or do you just keep going? I'm worried. Okay, kom sit julle nou ernstig op die spot hier so. How many of you have brought an unsafe person here in the last week? Oh, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Let's give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Frick. Month. I've got a month. I've got a month. I've got one. What's that? Is dit a ja of a nee? Is jy seker of onseker? It's a maand. 2 maande. 2 maande. 2 maande. 2 maande. Okay, 2 maande. All right. Okay, cool. But listen, if they say that we're a bunch of hypocrites and ek weet nie wat alles dit was nie, why do they come here? Yeah, but would you come if I invite you, if there's a bunch of hypocrites there? Listen, guys, it is a, seems like a stupid question. But why is that? And better question yet is, what are you doing to change that? And I must include in my eye though. All right? In John 13, verse 35, it says, by this it will be clear to all men that you are my disciples. Nee, wag 'n bietjie. By this it will be clear as mud to all men that you are my disciples. Now, okay, I'm saying this because, you know, we read that scripture a lot and we just glance over it. By this all men, it will be clear to everybody that we are God's disciples if we love one another. Tell me quickly, is dit 'n goeie vraag om te vra? Everybody close their eyes. This is a good question to ask. Give me a good indication. How many of you have been in a church where stuff has gone pear-shaped, you took a slight, okay, maybe a big offense, and you left? Every eye closed. I just want to have an idea. As jy loer, né, dan gaan ek jou boude pak slaag gee. Okay, hi up, I want to see. Just give me a good indication. How many of you left because something happened and you cheesed yourself? Okay, you can put your hands down. I can tell you, from what I've seen, there's quite a few people that has left. Now, is that love? Listen, guys, we are sitting here every Sunday. How many of you really feel loved? Cared for? How many of you are currently taking offense? Oh, don't put up your hands. Security, security, remove this man. But Jesus said this very clear thing. By this, everybody knows that we're his disciples because we love one another. I think we need to think about this one for a change. And maybe take stock. Because where's the best place in the Bible to find out what love is? Said it. 1 Corinthians 13. Who of you know where that is in the Bible? Yeah. Okay, ek gaan nie meer vrae vra nie. Hier is dodgy. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. Now listen, let's read this slowly. This is for you and me. This is for you and me. It says this. Love is what? Okay, how many of you are patient? I know of a lot of patients in the hospital, but okay. Love is kind. Shucks, eh? Love does not. Oops. Love does not. It is not. Does not. Does not what? What does it mean to dishonor someone? Make them look bad. Who of you have been dishonored recently? Okay, many land opsteek nie. Especially if it wasn't in the church. Okay. So we shouldn't thus dishonor others. It is not. It's not. Nee. It's not what? Self-seeking. Oops. I think I typed that by accident. But it says we shouldn't be self-seeking. Okay, Neil, Setom, maybe. I hope so. Not easily. Okay, Neil. Now can I nie meer koop nie. Because what happens when you're in traffic? Of you stand in a queue, ladies, for the throne room, and this lady comes. Of you stand by SARS, and this guy comes walking. Listen, I don't handle this well, I'll be honest with you. Or I'm standing to buy an ice cream, and he come here. Nee, papi. Queue is da. Okay. Yeah. It's a bit tight in a day now. All right. So it keeps now. Okay, we're going to skip. That's wrong. If we don't read that one, it's wrong. It keeps no record of wrong. Tell me, who of you are keeping a record of someone that's done something against you that you are keeping tabs on them? You've got your spies out. Getting feedback. Just think about that one quickly. Keeps no record of wrongs. And then we have stuff like Encounter 3 and 4. Where people come and they have to forgive people. In the church, nogals. But we're supposed to do that. Now think of this. This is nogal hectic. It does not delight in evil. Who of you play games? Dodgy games? Okay. Okay. Rejoices with it. Okay. It always. It. Whoa. Now think of this. The rand dollar rate will fail. Your car is going to fail. Your BlackBerry gaan fail. Your Samsung. iPhone, sorry for the early iPhone dudes. Say iPhone het klaar in die hek geduik, sê hy. It has given up the spares. But listen. Okay, now think about this. Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. It will be very clear to them that you are my disciples if you do this. If someone out there experiences this in the church, do you think they'll come? I think we need to repent, guys. I really think we need to repent. I'm speaking from a place of revelation because last week, Sunday evening, I ministered on campus, and the topic was bleeding love. And the question was, if you got cut, what comes out? Yeah, blood comes out. But if we get cut, if you get hurt, yeah, what comes out? And then I looked at a couple of scriptures which says that we will face various trials and tribulation and stuff. You know what? I did not get a place where Jesus says, where the lewe gaan 'n jol wees. It's easy peasy. You're going to just walk through this. And I've been on this earth long enough to know that stuff happens. Lekker stuff, but daar's 'n paar dodgy goed ook. Okay? So we're going to face trials and tribulations, but what comes out when that happens? What happens when you get cut? What do you bleed? Do you bleed love? Now you can eat no eight new. But it's true, isn't it? You know what? Jesus died for us, loving us to death. And then he says, there's no greater love but for us to lay down our lives for those around us, right? If a guy walks in here now with a machine gun, are you going to do that? Jump in front of the bullet, says, "Kit my losie res." You know, they did that exercise one day with a church. I want to try it one day, but I'm just scared someone's going to have a heart attack or something. But these guys got masks on and everything, and they walked in the church, and they were like threatening the people, and they said, "All of you that are scared to die, leave." And like two-thirds of the church ducked. And yes, that was awesome, yes. And they pulled off the mask, and they said to the pastor, "Right, pastor, all the hypocrites have left. Now we can have church." And I'm thinking, whoa, what would I have done? Here I actually, oh, nice church, eh? It's hectic. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 starts like this. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clang. Who can play drums? James, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but you know what's coming, right? Can you juice up that thing? Well, it's not plugged in. So how can we do this now? Okay, wach. How do I get this thing off? Waar sê? Ek het 'n leatherman. Ek haal hom uit mekaar uit vinnig. Now we just want to do this exercise. You please hold. I should have arranged this beforehand. Nee, nee, kom, jy moet. Nee, kom hier, so, kom hier. Right. Now, a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, right? Hier kom hy. Sit hom harder, bro. Ja, Feel okay? Was that nice? Any gehoor dokters, help net die kant asseblief. But if you listen to that, the Bible says if we don't have love, we are exactly that. Movies are geraas. Big noise. And everybody's really going, shut up. Now on campus, what I did after this, I had the drummer hit that groot cymbal for eerste prijs. That was a bit more noisy than this. But when we were done, I said to him, okay, now play me something lekker on the drums. And he went into this rhythm. And if you've heard a drum solo, it is awesome. So the comparison is this. What does your life sound like? Are you a noisy gong? Am I a noisy gong? Or do I really love people? Because you see, if we are claiming, so this is now interesting, that he says, and if I have prophetic power and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, I have all the faith, so I can remove mountains, like I said, Los for Tafelberg, but I have not love, I am nothing. Listen, guys, that freaks me out. It really does. Okay? If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And when I read this last week, the Holy Spirit started stirring in my heart, just where are we at as the church? You see, because if the people out there are supposed to look at us, and they're supposed to see love, but we walk around without love, all they're hearing is a whole bunch of geraas, just one big noise. There's a story of this coastline. Please don't crucify me for the story. This is a story. And on this coastline, there was a bunch of mermaids that made the most awesome music. But what happens is, as the ships come past, the guys that sit in the boat, listen to the music, don't think what they're doing, end up running their boats to ground and losing their lives. And it was so bad that no ship, that part of the coastline was feared, that the ships actually didn't want to go past there, because every time they passed there, they would sink. So if a boat was supposed to go past there, getting a crew was mission impossible. And this one day, this captain decided, we're taking this route, and they were already on the sea, so the guys couldn't flee. And he said to them, we're going down there in a La Jolla Toys at Ikotek, because now we're going to die. And he says, no, don't worry, I've got a plan. Oh, what happened before this is, the one trip, some of the sailors decided they're going to plug their ears. But because, you know, when you plug your ears, you can faintly hear the music. Because they could faintly hear it, they literally lost their minds, because they hear this beautiful music, but they can't respond to it. Okay? So they also perished. So this captain decides, we're going to do this. And as they approach this thing, I mean, the sailors were now losing it bad on the ship. I mean, rarig captain, jy is nou gesyp. You can't do this to us. So he says, yes, all's reg. And he goes inside his cabin and he takes out this violin. And he starts playing this music on this violin, because he was an absolute magnificent violinist. Whatever, if that was right. And he starts playing. And the sailors are like, wow, Captain, jy kan speel. Wow. And he started playing this song. And I mean, the sailors started turning to him one by one, looking at what he's playing and listening and going, wow, this is awesome. And before they knew it, they were past the mermaids. And they were like, what? We made it. And the moral of the story is this. So many times we go to people and we do the don't this, don't that, don't. But if we play the alternate song of love, they will make it. What tune are we playing? What noise are we making to those that are around us? Do they see love? Do the people that are sitting in this room, can they testify of 1 Corinthians 13 in your love life? Do you love one another? You see, because we understand one thing about church, we actually want to be here. But what is more important for me is, what does the people out there say about what we do in here? And how do they experience us? You see, because in Galatians 6, verse 10, it says this, that we need to do good to all men. And you know what? We as Christians are good to do, we do this well. We do good to a lot of people out there. But it follows up that it says, especially to those that are in the household of faith. But unfortunately, in the church, it's the easiest place to get backstabbed or taken out. I'm generalizing, okay? I've seen a lot of love in this church. Don't get me wrong. I've been here 7 months. I've seen something different here. Okay? So God is doing an awesome thing. Don't be despondent. But what, you know, even in our midst, do we keep a record of wrongs? Do we love one another? Actually, what that's saying, I'm loving you unconditionally. I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you in any case. Because you know what? Not very married people here. Yeah? I can tell you this much. Get it right here. Because the day you say, I do, you have to do it for the rest of your life. You're going to have to love that person that you said you married and you said, until death do us part, because that's your covenant. I'm going to love you with everything that is me in me for the rest of my life. And that's not so makkelijk nie. It's fun though. Okay, 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a special people. Congratulations. Take it. You are a special people, okay? A holy nation, priests and kings, a people given up completely to God, so that you may make clear the virtues of Him who took you out of darkness into the light. Listen, we sit here with a message of all messages. We've been set free. We are delivered. We are also good to go. It says here that we are a chosen generation for what purpose? To make clear what God has done in this earth. Your and my job on this earth is to make clear what He has done. In a way, through love and compassion to people, that they would want this. They must have that you have something that I don't have experience when you are in the room. Wie van julle het dit mee gebeur? Where someone has said, but listen, there's something different on your life. Okay? Steek op die hande. Ja? Almal is nou skam. All right, doen dit nou. No. All right, cool. But listen, guys, people should look at us. The love that we have for one another, and that should be like salt and light in their lives. Where they go, whoa, look at these guys. He just offended him bad. But it doesn't look like it. So, we are a holy nation. We are priests and kings. We have given ourselves up completely. In what identity are we walking? Are we walking in this identity of saying that we are a special people? You know what? Who of you have noticed that it's going a bit pear-shaped currently, morally and so on in the earth? I've noticed it, and I don't watch much news and stuff. I do listen to it sometimes, and sometimes I want to change the channel. It's terrible what hier buiten aangaan. But you know what? That is why we're here. We are here to touch and transform this nation. Congratulations, it's us. God's not going to send anybody else. You've been sent. I've been sent for this purpose, that the people out there will see him. We are that virtues in some of the other Bibles, it says the great deeds, the magnificent things that God has done. What testimonies are there in your life? I better not start, want dan gaan dit 'n baie lang aand wees. I've seen things in my life that God has done that is there for one purpose, is to testify of his goodness. Use your testimonies. Our testimonies that God has given us, the things that has brought us through, is the ammunition, the tools that we have to reach the lost. We will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's, in my opinion, one of the most underrated things that we do, is use our testimony. Now, we're quick to want to testify here. Nee, gaan uit. Go tell your testimony out there. Because inevitably, God's going to put you with someone that is there, that is going through something similar, and your testimony is going to be that tool that God wants to use. You know why it's so powerful? It's because they can't argue with that. Because you've experienced it, and I can say, jy lieg nie. I wasn't there. But I can sit there with this grin on my face, telling them about what my awesome Father has done. Okay? We need to make great the name of our God. And I believe that's going to shift this nation. That will shift what we're doing here. That is going to just grow in momentum. If we start testifying, you know what? The Spirit of God should be on us so much that when we encounter people or when people encounter us, they will see that on our lives. Okay? The question is, will they sense God when they come to this church? Will they hear God? Will they meet God? Not just here in our church and every church. Not just here, but in your work. Your place of ministry. Will they see and experience God wherever we are? Because you see, if we go out from here and we move in that love that I've just described in 1 Corinthians 13, what's going to happen? The light, it cannot stay the same, guys. But we've become so focused on pursuing stuff. And listen, I'm really guilty about that too. You become, like Debbie said, it's maak geld. And we go places and we do stuff. Okay? We need to recognize where our source is. And in John 15 verse 4, it says, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. May those around you be able to eat from the fruit of your life. May they see what God has done in your life and eat from that fruit and live. Because the fruit that you're bearing, if you're abiding in him, will be fruit of life. It will transform their lives. It will change them completely. You know what? There's people sitting here that needs to eat from the fruit of your life. That God has taken you through stuff, or God has given you a revelation or something that you need to minister to the person sitting next to you. Do good to those in the household of faith. Let's minister to one another here. Let's encourage one another here. Let's become tight. Have you ever seen a family that's tight? I don't mess with them. Not alone, at least. If you want to take on that family, vat die mafia saam, papi. But check a family that's tight. Or who of you in school, you know, bumped someone, and then when you again see, he's a groot boetie. And suddenly you're going, oops, didn't mean to. What happens if someone bumps the person next to you here? Now, spiritually speaking, what happens if someone hurts the person next to you? What would it look like? Are we going to say, it's my booty die. It's my sissy. Okay, that's spiritually speaking. But listen, we need to recognize that our source is not being Olek and all these things, but unless we are abiding in Him, unless we are part of this vine, we cannot bear this fruit. So listen, your relationship with God is crucial. You can actually not afford backing off on seeking God every day. And I cannot do that either. Because in that fellowship and studying His Word and getting His Word and internalizing it, this is where it plays out, guys. That's the stuff that He uses when we walk out of here to reach the people out there. Romans 6:13 says, do not present your members to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments of righteousness. What tune are we playing? You know what? If I understand 1 Corinthians 13, then I would imagine that we should be a church where people go, we want to be there. We should have the lost outside standing there saying, wach, wach, was nie meer plek hier. Second service. Please hold. Or we'll have to put speakers out there and have seats in the park owner. We are called. You know why God moved us here? It's not because of this nice venue. It's great. But there's people here that have not encountered Him. And we are that tool to touch the people's lives around here. He's not sending anybody else. You are the plan. Congratulations. You are the plan at your work. He's not going to send me or Ross. If it's an engineering job, I can guarantee you I'm going to mess it up. If it's a plumbing one, I can do that. But you see, I cannot fulfill the call and the plan that God has for your life where you are. You have to. I know this is a strong word tonight, but I really believe that we need to take stock in a sense of what we're doing here. And more importantly, what does God want to do through us here? Because the fact that we are not reaching the lost. Listen, if you've led someone to Christ at work and they came here, awesome, well done, your neighbor, whatever. It needs to happen out there. I'm not saying let's just get them here, but let's go to where they are. There was a comment, we go. Let's go. So my final question to you tonight here is, what sound will you make? Are you going to be the noisy gong? What tune are you going to play? What tune am I going to play to those people out there? What tune are we playing to one another sitting here? And what does God want to do with that? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son for you and me. And I think maybe it's just me. Maybe this word is just for me. Maybe we've become so distracted with what's happening around us in terms of our jobs and work and family and stuff that we forgot that as He laid down His life, so we have laid down our lives for Him. You see, because we are supposed to be dead. And I've said this before. If I've given my life to Christ, it is no longer I that live. but him that lives through me. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that you should have nothing, because I do believe that where God has called you and where he's placed you, that's where he wants to use you. That's who you are, and that's what he's going to use. He used me in the plumbing industry for 20 years. So I'm not saying resign your job. As a belief money that were me. I'm saying put God above everything that is happening in your life. Let God dictate what you do and how you do your work. You know, I honestly believe we should not work more hours than 8 to 5. I believe the sun sets for a good reason. To stop working. But that's me. I honestly don't see this thing about working 24/7. It just does not work. We have families and people to reach, which you're not necessarily going to do at work. So you have to go away from work sometime. No, leave. You only have that much leave. But listen, the sun sets for that reason. Let's pursue God in every. You know, your employer should, with it. Can I quickly testify? We've got a friend who's she's an attorney, applied for a position, and we chatted beforehand, and our advice to her was just make clear your boundaries as to what you are prepared to give to this company. And she was just finished studying, and she started there. And if you know anything about lawyers, I don't know much, but I know in that first sort of year where they do stuff, they get abused bad. And she went on the interview and she said, listen, I'm prepared to give you 8 to 5 Monday to Friday. And they said, sorry, we don't work like that here. And she said, well, that's what I'm prepared to give you. They gave her the job. What's amazing, where God came through for her in a most incredible way, is that she did from 8 to 5, she was the most productive lawyer between 8 and 5. She did not take her work home. She refused. And God blessed her when she resigned, because they're now in full-time ministry. When she resigned, they begged her to stay. And you know what? Her employees were jealous over her because she got more done between 8 and 5 than anybody else in that office. Now, do with that what you want. I applied for a position at the council. Maybe this is for someone. And when I sat at the council, I said to them, listen, or they said, you understand that this position is a standby position. You have to work overtime and stuff. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. Sorry. After hours is my wife's time. And they said, but this is the council. But if a pipe bursts, you have to be there. I said, well, sorry, then I can't work here. And I left. And I thought, Darcy, no, my chops in. And we prayed. We said, God, you can make a way. 3 days later, they phoned me. They said, listen, Quibus, we really want to employ you. I'm like, okay. We have created a position for you where you're not going to do standby. Both in Alberton Town Council and Potchefstroom Town Council, I was the only plumber that did not work overtime. Now do with that what you want. So I can testify from honoring God. When I had my business, I refused to be a 24-hour plumber. I was the only plumber in Cape Town that worked Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. My turnover was the same that some of my friends that I knew that worked 24/7. And tell me that's not God. Okay. Axel no oppo. That's not really what I want to do. Okay. So that's a freebie tonight. Special. It was finite. Okay. Ek hoop het help iemand. But let's stand. Let's stand. Come. Let's stand. Let's stand before God. And you know what? I think we need to take stock. Am I wrong in saying that? I think we need to take stock of the love in our lives. The way we love one another, the way we love the lost, and our passion for the church of God. You know, I realized this. Jesus said, I'm building my church. If you are not building the church, what are you building? That thing freaked me out one day when someone said that to me, that Jesus is saying, I'm building his church. Now, that can happen in various ways. Once again, don't resign your job. Please speak to me before you do that. But God is building his church. That is his only plan on this earth, to reach the world. It's you and me. And we're standing before him tonight, and I think we need to give an account of God, how I've loved those around me, how I'm loving those that are not here, that are on my work, how I'm even loving those that are of the household of faith, but not necessarily fellowshipping here. So, but listen, you don't have to do this, but I think let's take this moment and let's just turn to one another. If there's someone here tonight that you're having something that, if you look at love, that God has convicted you as we read through it, let's start here. Let's confess our sins here. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move between us here, so that when we leave here, people out there will see that we are his disciples. So if there's someone here standing next to you that you know that you have something against, I want you to right now go and fix it. Go repent. Don't wait for them to repent. Don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. The Bible says if you come to the altar and they realize that someone else has got something against you, go back, leave your gift there, go to them, fix it, and then come back and make your offering. And you know what? I want to say enough is enough, children of God. Enough is enough. We need to love one another unconditionally right here. So take a moment. If you have to speak to someone, this is nothing to be ashamed about. Listen, guys, if we can't be open and honest right here, how will those out there feel welcome? So go. Take this moment. Go chat to them. If you've got nobody that you want to speak to, then I want you to turn to the person next to you. And let's just take, can you put 1 Corinthians 13 up again? I want you to look at that scripture and decide, are you going to be a clanging gong? What noise are you going to make? And let's just turn to one another. Let's pray for one another right here. God, help us. If the only thing that you can say tonight is, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me to do that, then let's do that. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move right now. Holy Spirit, may your power descend on us, your presence, so that we will not be noisy gongs, Father, that we will be the most amazing music that this earth has heard. May they, through the love that we have for one another, may their lives be transformed, my Father. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Come on. Lord, help us to love one another unconditionally. Lord, help us to walk that extra mile with one another, to forgive one another. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to love the way that you loved us. While you're praying, I just want to share this quickly, that Lorette shared a vision this morning about, she saw a vision of the church being like a whale, and how around this whale there was a whole bunch of boats coming, putting nets around this whale and restricting it from actually swimming freely. And the word from the Lord was this, that the opinions of man and the popular opinions of life and compromise are hindering us as the church in moving forward. And that's why I believe tonight is just so significant, and that God is about to break through those opinions and stuff that are just holding you, who are his church, back. So if there's some false teaching or something that you're hanging on to that's not, doesn't line up with God's word, just let it go. One of the things that she said is, you know, there's the opinions of man and popular opinion from society is especially one thing that is going to hinder us, and we're going to have to break through that popular opinion. What the guys in the world say is fine, it doesn't line up with God's word. We're going to have to break through those things. So I believe tonight is preparation for us to break through. I'm just going to pray for us to just close the service. But my prayer would be this, Lord, please change the reputation of us, your church. Lord, may people not see us as hypocrites. May us, they not see us as people that are condemning. May those out there, Lord, not see us as this bad place. But may through the love that we have for one another and what you are doing in this church and in every other church, Father God, may your church arise victorious, your bride. Father, that the beauty of your bride will again draw those that are out there into your kingdom. Jesus, I know you died for every man, every person. And I pray as we go from here, God, that we will just go in your joy and your knowing, Father, that you are for us, that you watch over us, that you have called us, Father, that you have set us apart, that, Lord God, our names are written on your hand, that you know us intimately, Father God, but there's so many that don't know you yet. And I pray as we go from here, Father, may the love that you are depositing in us tonight, Father, may you just transform us so that those out there will see you in us every day. May we tap into the vine. May we connect ourselves with the vine daily. May we draw sustenance from you so that we can bear much fruit. Father, I pray for us, your people, that we will bear fruit that is worthy of your name and your glory. So I just pray, Father God, for each one of us. Thank you that you've called us by name and that we are here. Thank you, Father, that we can love one another unconditionally. Unconditionally. Father, I just thank you for what you did in our lives. Thank you that you saved us. Thank you that you brought us out of death into life so that we can live life to the full. Father, thank you that everything that you give us, the resources, the work, and everything that we can turn that around, put it on in front of your feet as an offering to worship you, Father. Thank you that we are employed. Thank you, Father, that we can earn finances to glorify your name with. Thank you, Father, for relationships and the people around us that we can just love, Father God. And I thank you, Father, that in this congregation right here now, that you will just stir relationships, that we will start loving one another like never before, Father. Not that there is not love, but may we grow to a greater understanding of what you want to do in and through us in this place, God. May the love that you have for us be shown right here. And as we go from here, Father, may thousands of lives be transformed and changed. So, Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for your anointing. And we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. I must just brag, just quickly in conclusion. I don't know if you know about Yaku and Lucille, what happened to her. But you know what I saw? Just call me somebody that's new here. It's just how this congregation came around those two people. That through that, God did a miracle in Lucille's life and she's completely healed. And the doctors are standing like, and what did nou gebeur? And that is so awesome. But even to them, the testimony of how people rushed to love them was amazing. So that love is here. Let's just build on that, guys. Come on. Amen. Okay, guys, let's have coffee and let's just keep loving and fellowshipping.